As my good friend says, I'm sorry it's come to this. If you're anything like me, you feel betrayed and furious at this addiction. Episode 3, My Story. Y'all, I loved cigarettes. I loved the shiny gold flip box and the long slim styles, and on wild nights at the bar, the hardcore soft pack serious cigarettes. I loved them all. I loved menthol. I loved regulars. If you were smoking them and you were buying them, I loved them. I loved the feeling of sophistication that I associated with smoking. I fancied myself living a fabulous Casablanca life with my pretty little cigarette case and my beautiful gold lighter with my sorority crest on the outside. Of course, I had a Zippo lighter for those nights at the rodeo when I needed to look cool in cowboy boots and suede jackets. I was a snob about disposable lighters. I'd rather use clever matches from exotic places than resort to one of those tacky plastic butane things. Oh, I was a fox. And cigarettes were my best companion. Not booze or pills or even a hot date could give me the feeling of well-being that my favorite cigarette provided. I loved to light them and feel that initial high from the first drag. I loved the feeling of buying a new carton of cigarettes in a pretty box with gold raised embossed lettering. Used to pride myself on knowing my friends' favorite brands and gave cartons wrapped in huge bows as gifts. When it came to non-smoking areas, those rules did not apply to me. I smoked anywhere I darned well pleased, because who cares? Smoking was cool, and it was the thing to do, and it never once occurred to me that smoking in someone's face was rude, and it certainly did not register that my secondhand smoke might affect someone's health. Smoking is a very selfish disease, isn't it? I never cared for a minute about anyone else but myself and my smoking satisfaction. I could not imagine 5 minutes without a cigarette, or at least planning for the next smoke. What started at age 15 as something cool and quaint had turned into a filthy habit that made me into a selfish slave, addicted to cigarettes and without choice. When I was in high school, it started as a sophomore. When I was a senior, I said, you know what? I'm not going to smoke when I go to college. It doesn't smell good, and I want to flirt with boys, and I want to go to class and stuff. I don't want to smoke. First day at college, I'm smoking. My first time to swear off was in college. I was always going to quit after the next test, after I finished that term paper, after I got over the breakup with a boyfriend. This summer, for sure, before I go on that trip, I'll quit for Easter. I'll quit right after New Year's on my birthday. And on went the bargaining phase. I tried cutting down, and would then pat myself on the back that I had such magnificent willpower that I could control the number of cigarettes that I smoked. This achievement would be rewarded with a pack of exotic imported colored cigarettes with gold-wrapped filters. On I'd go, until very quickly, I escalated right back up to my usual pack and a half a day. I would instantly forget my bravado about quitting and go on my merry way, until the next time I vowed that it was time to cut back. As the years went by, I spent very little time feeling remorse about smoking. Mostly, I just justified it, if I thought about it at all. Never in all my years of smoking did I ever try to quit. Never. I was famous for saying, oh, I could quit anytime I want, but I don't need to quit, and I don't want to quit, so I don't have to. I cannot imagine, y'all, how many times I said that. Here's my favorite. I was convinced that smoking helped curb my appetite. Upon rare occasion, I would consider quitting, but I was certain that I would gain weight. The funniest thing happened. When I decided to stop smoking and begin creating a program to help myself, I found all the pictures of me holding a cigarette. They weren't hard to come by since I could not form a sentence in my brain without one. In this collection is a picture of me so overweight it was pathetic. Sitting in a huge muumuu over huge blue jeans, my hair a mess, my face puffy and red with a big old cigarette hanging out my mouth. Yep, cigarettes were a great diet aid, weren't they? I remember the day I burned all those old pictures in effigy as I started my new life. Gosh, y'all, that seems like a whole person ago. My bargaining and elaborate justification phase ended in my late 20s. I went to the doctor for yet another bout of pneumonia, and he told me that my constant flu attacks and other health problems were due to smoking. He said these words that I will never forget. "Debbie, if you don't quit smoking, I'd hate to see what you look like in the next 15 years. My very first thought after he said that was, "What the hell? I've got 15 years. This bothered me. It was really the first time that I felt conflicted. What was I saying to myself? I was willing to go through 15 more years of sickness and the inevitability of serious disease for what? To try to get back that feeling of belonging and sophistication that I had when I started? It bothered me so much that on my way home, sick as a dog, hovered over the steering wheel, so sick I could barely see, I forgot to buy cigarettes. That night, I laid in bed, sick with fever and unable to move. I don't think I've ever been that ill. My lungs gurgled with fluid, and I was just miserable. At midnight, I woke up, like I always did at midnight, for my pre-dawn cigarette fix. I was so sick, I sat up and said to myself, "I just can't smoke a thing tonight. I'm just so sick. And besides, I don't have any cigarettes left." And so there I was, at 1 o'clock in the morning, burning up with fever, coughing and crying, sitting on the floor, rummaging through the trash can for the remnants of old nasty cigarettes, lighting them and smoking them. Not my finest hour. I was a pretty agnostic little thing and rather leaned toward the atheistic side of the spiritual issue, but in that moment, I was utterly defeated. I looked up and said in an unusually clear voice, "If there is anything out there, do something to help me, because I am totally beaten." No, there was not a burning bush and the room didn't light up. In fact, I lit another coffee-stained butt and smoked it and then crawled back into bed. But the next day, something totally crazy happened. I was still sick as a dog, but I had this crystal clear thought that woke me up. In my little fuzzy head, this idea came to me. Wouldn't it be nice if you'd been smoke-free for a week by Halloween? That was the most preposterous thing I'd ever heard in my life. But the thought would not leave me all day. I argued with myself all day. No way could I quit by then. It was way too soon. By the way, folks, it was February. Well, that pesky thought would not go away. I even smoked extra cigarettes despite the pneumonia. Wouldn't it be nice if you'd been smoke-free for a week by Halloween? That is insane. I don't even like Halloween. What are you talking about? Over and over again. When I woke up at midnight, like I always did, I was shocked that my first thought wasn't, "Where are my cigarettes?" My first thought was, you guessed it, "Wouldn't it be nice if you had been smoke-free for a week by Halloween?" I sat up and said out loud, "Okay, already, I give up, I'll do it. But you better show me how." Next day, I consulted my friend in a 12-step program and discussed a strategy for quitting by this absurd date. I got out a calendar, figured out how I could do it by then. I knew that I was not going to approach this as a way to beat myself up. I've done that enough in my lifetime. I knew people who had done a program where they put on rubber bands on their wrists and snapped themselves every time they wanted a cigarette. And, you know, knowing me, I figured I'd make a fun thing out of that, but I signed up for the program anyway. Heck, bring on whatever it takes. So I told all my friends that I might just be a little wacky for a while and that I might need their understanding more than usual. To my surprise, everyone was supportive. I think now that the poor things were so sick of eating my secondhand smoke that they were happy to see me quit. Then I thought about what I was up against. Oh, but what exactly was I up against? I really didn't know a thing about cigarettes. Now, folks, this was 1985, long before internet research. But in that class that I was taking, I was to learn about corporations, cigarettes, what's in a cigarette, what do they do to me, what have I known that they do to me. So I took myself over to the library and researched cigarettes, their history, the chemicals in them, what physical properties in them contributed to my addiction. Then I looked up reports on big tobacco companies and was shocked by what I found. By the time I did all my research, I was furious. I vowed that the day I quit, those corporations would never get one more cent from me. Not a nickel, not a dime, not a penny. Anyway, I knew I had to do more than just figure out what it was about the cigarettes themselves that got me hooked. I had to look long and hard at myself. I looked at a number of self-help programs, including 12-step formulas and other systems for self-improvement, including the course that I had enrolled in, and adapted them to my cigarette addiction. Then I went to work. I sort of created the program as I went along and never felt so uncool in all my life. But the more I worked on myself, the more excited I got about my life. I knew from my research that water, vitamins, and good diet were going to be essential to my recovery. The chemicals in cigarettes are designed to promote bad diet, sedentary lifestyles, and general lack of self-care. As a result, about 5 days before my stop date, I noticed that I had lost weight. By that time, I didn't have a lot of weight to lose, but it turned out that during the time I'd been working on my little system, I'd lost 10 pounds. Not bad for a smoke fiend. My stop day was October 24th, 1985. Y'all, that date is very meaningful to me, and I will never give it up. I had a great day that day. I went shopping, to the movies, to dinner with friends, spent the entire day in the company of people. I chewed on my pretend smoke straws. You'll learn about that later on in some of the workbook exercises. And I was just thrilled with the day and went to bed happy as a lark. I slept through the whole night, didn't wake up at midnight or anything. On the morning of October 25th, however, I woke up absolutely hysterical. This was a bad way to start the day. Withdrawals were not totally intense because I had been alternating real cigarettes with straws for quite a few days. You'll learn more about that in that workbook. But my friend, withdrawals were upon me and I was not a happy girl. I made it through the day with my affirmations and all the tools I had acquired in my workbook process. But no, it was not an easy day. I did, however, make it. On October 26th, I was ready to smash something, so I did. I gathered every empty can I could find and stomped them to smithereens. Then I felt better. Day three was unusually calm and actually a lovely day. I was so relieved. Day four was okay, and day five was even better. On day six, I had some lovely activities planned along with a symphony. Ah, that was lovely. This, I thought, is it. I've got it licked. Well, day seven proved me wrong as I was driving in my car and suddenly enraged. I pulled over to the side of the road and got out and kicked the tires. Hurt my toe something awful, took my mind off cigarettes for the next 3 days. This roller coaster of withdrawals was short-lived because I had given myself permission to experience it. I was not going to try to make the quitting painless. I knew there would be unpleasantness, but every day of that first 2 weeks, I had a thought that would never leave me. Never again will I go through this. I will never smoke another cigarette as long as I live because I don't ever want to go through this again. Life is too short. And so life went on. And by the end of the second week, it was pretty much over. I had all my straws and mints, and that saved my life. I lost an additional 5 pounds because I was exercising and drinking lots of fluids, and the vitamin supplements were making me feel much better. The next year, life and loss happened. The ebb and flow of life paraded along. One of my fears had been this: what if something bad happens and I can't handle it without a cigarette? Well, bad stuff did happen, and good stuff happened. And when events came to pass, I dealt with them by using the healthy alternatives I'd created in the workbook of recovery. And now 36 years have passed, and in that time, I've helped lots of people who've helped lots of people, and now I pass this system on to you. I am your number one cheerleader, and I believe that you can have victory over this affliction. During this entire journey and working all of the activities that I planned, I learned so much about myself in that process, and I redefined my idea of what it is to be cool and what it is to be truly sophisticated. All my best wishes and congratulations to you for taking this first step. The universe has already answered your call for help, and it's me. Now let's get after this and move on to the next episode. Quit Smoking Podcast is a product of Rodeo Productions, performed and written by Debbie Hall, directed and produced by James Pierce of Selected Frequencies.